Hey, can you hear us?
There you go.
Okay.
There, we got it.
I guess we're not going to be able to see each other, but...
Okay.
I don't know why. I could see you on my screen, but, you know, you couldn't hear us, so...
No, I couldn't hear you.
We just do it on the phone.
Okay, well, good. Well, Zoom is great, except, you know, it's got to work, right?
That's great when it works. Correct.
So,
okay.
Yeah, this will be fine. So what's on your mind this wonderful July day?
What's on your mind?
I don't know. We had a little shakeup here at the office.
Okay, what happened?
2 weeks ago? Has it been two or has it been three?
It's been more like three, yeah.
3 weeks ago, 50% of the office up and went to UBS. No, where'd they come? Down in Montgomery, my bad.
Wow.
So it was quite a bit. So last week we moved into the corner office, and oh my, quite lovely.
Aha! You got the big office, huh?
Yep. So getting used to the new surroundings, but you know, nonetheless, so it's really quiet here. No one's around. And we're just trying to put our heads down and focus.
Well, good. Good for you. Yeah, it's always, you know, I hate all these changes, but, you know, I don't know why I hate them. I guess it is. It's normal, but it's hard
to. I certainly do. It was disruptive. It was just, you know, kind of unexpected and very disruptive.
Yeah. So is your manager still there?
Yes.
Okay, good. So he was so pleased to get you. Now all of a sudden he doesn't have an office, huh? Except for you guys.
This was a very small office to begin with, so.
Oh, okay.
There's not many of us here right now, but it's fine. It's.
Yeah. Okay, so did you get accounts from that, or what did you, or did you just?
You know, normally, you know, normally when you're new, you know, you don't really get anything, but we definitely did get some, you know.
Okay.
Which good thing. We're working those now, you know. So.
Yeah, I always say you don't get when you have a reassignment, it's not an account. It's an account, it's not a client until until they do a transaction with you.
Yeah.
So that's really important financial plan, transaction, some commitment to do business other than, I'm staying. That's usually not very reliable.
No, exactly. That's right.
Yeah. So you guys.
And you know, these guys were all with Raymond James for over 20 years, you know. So, you know, the chances are that most are going to stay with them. So.
Right. But you have Supernova and they don't.
That's right.
So.
Exactly.
Exactly. We've been sending out first to these potential new people and explaining our process, and you know, that's what we're hoping will have them like the new way of doing things, being in contact.
There you go. So other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? What else is going on besides that?
Well, we're having we had a really good month last month, and this month's going to be a really good month as well. So, you know, so we just want to keep the momentum going, you know, because obviously we still have numbers to hit over the next year and a half. So,
yeah.
So
one of the things that's been helping, Rob, is that last meeting when we spoke, you talked about the executive summary and having an agenda and things like that. And that's really, we've been forcing ourselves to quarterly reviews, get an agenda, executive summaries, and really kind of sharing. And it's been a little challenging getting it done, but we're starting to do it on a regular basis.
Great.
That was good.
Yeah, it really takes care of regulation BI. So you guys don't really need to do, you know, everybody's going to come railing, running in and telling you got to change everything because of regulation BI. You don't have to, because of the executive, because of the agenda and the executive summary and the financial plan. If you're doing those things, you're taking care of everything that they need. So, I mean, assuming, you know, assuming you're selling, you're doing what you say, you know, what the plan says you should do. So
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's, you're not only suitable, but you are selling, doing things in the client's best interest. But to demonstrate that, the financial plan, the agendas and the executive summary says not only did we do a plan, but we followed through and made sure that things got done that were in the client's best interest. So that's how it all ties together now. So that should be a big help to your compliance officers and other people that are trying to figure out what should we do differently in order to comply with this new regulation. That's what you should do. So that's great to hear. Yeah, it's like, you know, anything else, Patty, it's once you get used to it, it becomes, less difficult. It's part of training your clients. You're training your clients to be there when you call, to read the agenda, to add something if they want to talk about it, and then to call if they don't agree with the executive summary. You know, but otherwise from a, you know, compliance point of view, you eliminate the possibility of what we call an I say, you say situation, where the client, mm-hmm. you know, the client was questioning whether or not they actually agreed to buying that XYZ. And you have all the evidence right there that they not only knew about it, heard about it, it fit with their financial plan, and they agreed to it, and we documented the agreement through the executive summary.
Yeah, I've been trying to streamline it, come up with like a template that we can use on a regular basis. Of course, tweaking it for each individual, but you
right.
know, I think that's made it easy. Thomas has been very much in control of keeping our feet to the fire, and that's always a necessary person on any team.
Really important here. It's like you think of yourself as an operating room, where you have a senior nurse who is in charge of everything from prepping the room to tearing the room down, getting the patient ready, making sure that they mark the proper area that you're going to be operating on, and then doing everything literally except for the operation. So you open them, you do the operation, and you close them. Other than that, the staff does everything else. So think of the opening as the agenda, the operating as what you agree to, the action you take, and then the closing is the executive summary. And otherwise, your team takes care of all the scheduling, everything else. And getting everything ready for you to operate with, and then making sure everything gets properly cleaned and sterilized. So it's a good analogy, I think. And it makes you think, mm-hmm. okay, I don't want to be involved in anything but operations. You know, I want to be, I'm either talking to patients, you know, to clients, or I'm talking to prospects. That's where I want to be all the time. And the more that can be all by appointment, the less you waste time on phone tag and interruptions and other things that, you know, disrupt your life. So it should, especially being from, you know, you guys are in the office now, so, you know, but it's quiet and you don't really have the interruptions in the office. It's probably more like working from home almost. So you want to keep it that way. You want to have very little interruptive time.
What else we need to talk about? Probably need to work a little more on, definitely, on our COI list. And then work those a little better. I think I'm guilty of having a couple people that I say, oh, they'd be good COIs, but then I never reach out to them. So I need to be more diligent.
What about your enthusiastically endorsed list? You were working on that the last time.
I don't think we've added to that since talking to you last.
Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, the good thing about, you know, our action steps were, you know, implementing this, you know, the agenda and the executive summary. I mean, I think that was, you know, that was really, that's what we really concentrated on. So I think that was a good step. So I think it's good to have like a major thing, you know, to kind of tackle every month or every other month. So that's definitely something we got to be looking at.
So what is your 24-month calendar look like right now? What's your focus for this month?
A lot of people are on quarterly reviews right now. Typically the first month of the quarter, we're doing quarterly reviews. But, you know, sometimes switch it up too, you know, like where typically, you know, we'll have something scheduled, you know, because I just think like right now is a good thing about implementing, like we've implemented some index annuities into some accounts, and we definitely want to be talking about that.
Well, we do have a weekly topics. Monthly topic.
Right.
And, you know, and we try to keep that in front of us at all times so that when you're talking to somebody, is this a client that maybe 529s would be important right now or, you know, things to that order. So we've always got, you know, a short list of things that we can refer to when we're talking to Mrs. Smith.
So I'm testing you right now. What is your topic for the month? For July?
Topic for the month is me. Financial plan review. And monthly budget.
Okay, good.
And that's at the top of all of our weekly calendars when we do a team meeting. That's at the top. So mid-year look back and financial plan review and then monthly budget. Should we be getting a financial plan going?
Great. That's all you need. That's fine. That's great.
Yeah, we do, you know, sometimes – You know, like when we have long-term care on there or educational planning, and it just doesn't pertain to everybody, you know? So, like, we're always have, like, two or three topics, you know? And the other thing we've been doing, and Thomas didn't do it this week, but he has been doing it, is he attaches to our calendar that he gives us every week.
Yep.
The whole calendar, you know, like, all the topics, you know? So that we have the topics in front of us, you know, as we're making calls.
Thank you.
Good. Good. So, you
so
can
even
kinda,
if none of
yeah.
three, you know, if they don't pertain to them, at least we can look down and I can see, oh, you know what? I really haven't done an annuity review with them anymore. We haven't talked about, you know, maybe we haven't told them that they don't have to do an RMD this year or whatever, you know, like, so we have everything right in front of us, like all the months, you know, everything that we, you know, that's on these topics.
Did you see in Barron's that suggestion that they do an RMD, that they that you switch around your IRA from being a regular IRA to a
into a Roth.
Into a Roth.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get it, but you know, and I usually know what I'm talking about when it comes to that, but did you get it? Did you think that was a good idea?
For some people,
it's a hard thing to you know, the Roth is a good vehicle anyway for, you know, especially if you're not going to use the assets, you know, so a transfer, you know, on death is pretty good. But, you know, the issue is that probably because of all this stimulus, taxes are going to go up. So this may be a good time to pay the tax, you know, before taxes get out of control years down the road. I don't know. And a lot of people just don't want to pay taxes ahead of time, so I'm not sure that, you know, that just doesn't pertain to a lot of people.
Right, right. But by giving the money away, by giving the money away, you eliminated the tax. Is that correct? You
yeah, gave, they created the IRA to get away from taxes. Why am I now going to, now that I'm older and going maybe retired, why am I going to pay all the tax in 1 year or 3 years or whatever? That's a hard one for some people to take.
It is. I think if they would have taken our advice years ago, it would have definitely paid off because they could have, because some of these IRAs have really grown dramatically and now they're tax free.
Yeah. So the difference is, which I wasn't until you just said that. So you can actually transfer a taxable IRA at death is really expensive, right? But if you can, you move you can move a Roth to the next generation tax free. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That I didn't remember that. That's important. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. I just read it and I went, what am I missing? Well, that, you know, well, I agree with you guys in terms of the, you know, this is probably the lowest estate tax we'll ever see in our lifetime.
You know,
22 million plus.
Exactly.
You know, it's probably going to go back down to 5 million or something here.
To be honest, that's one of the biggest opportunities that we have, is to deal with that right now.
I agree.
And I heard something, it was through Wealth Management Magazine. They did like a video conference, and it was really interesting because basically what they were saying was that it doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to just deal with like clients that are $10 million in assets. Even if they're like, you know, a million to 5 million, they should be trying to gift that money away if they're not going to use it.
Right. I agree.
So it was, and really what they were highlighting were like doctors, like it was like perfect. Like, I don't know why they were highlighting doctors. I'm not really sure what that was about, but they just felt it was a great opportunity for, you know, because maybe because a lot of them haven't done it or dealt with it. And, you know, and we have some that, you know, they don't think they have to worry about it, but obviously when this thing unravels, they're not going to have the opportunity.
Well, and just, I mean, seriously, who do you think they're targeting? You know, the 1% is a lot of people, and they could easily, I mean, I said 5 million, it could move it down to 1 million. And
that's right.
And just whack the heck out of our entire base, you know.
Well, yeah, and it was there before, so why wouldn't it go back?
Right, especially if you get a bunch of people that don't believe in capitalism, you know, think that this is a zero-sum game.
Yep.
You know, there is no growth. All we've got is the money that's out there, and we need that money, and so you're going to give it to us.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, we're doing a really big insurance policy again. You know, last year we did a super one where, you know, we did about 250,000 gross. And, you know, we're doing one this month, which is about 100,000. Well, no, not that.
It's two. It's two, and I think it's about 190.
Yeah. So, well, I don't like to count things before
they
happen.
Yeah, no, exactly.
No, but that's pipeline. That's good. That's good. Yeah.
No, I know. The opportunity is that in our book, we definitely have all those opportunities. They're huge. And we definitely need to be concentrating on those nonsense.
And one of those other things we thought of is that if this year is no R&D mandatory, then talk to those clients who they don't need the R&D anyway, so they're not going to take it this year. Well, think, Mr. Klein, of taking a portion of it, and let's buy a life insurance, a second-to-die policy for your estate, and then every year when you have to do your R&D, a portion of that goes towards paying for this, you know, provision for your estate and your loved ones. And so we've been kind of presenting the R&D issue in another light.
I like that, because a lot of, I personally, you know, give my RMD away every year as a charitable contribution. You know, and, you know, if I thought that my estate was at risk, you know, I might just say, hey, you know, I've done that and it's been great and I think the charities appreciate it, but I could simply take a portion of that and reallocate it to something that would minimize my estate tax. That's smart. I like that.
Well, there's another strategy as well, you know, not just working it against the estate planning aspect, but it's almost like increasing the death benefit on an IRA. Because I'll give you just a quick scenario of what I did. My wife always had an annuity for her two boys, and that annuity was worth about $200,000. So the death benefits on it is about $200,000, right?
Yep.
So, but it also has a living benefit where she could take income off of it every year. So, and that's guaranteed for life. So what we did is we kind of figured out if we took the income, start the income, which I don't need, right? But if we just take the income off of that annuity, how much life insurance can we buy for it? Because the annuity's for her boys anyway.
Right.
Not for us. So what we figured out was net dollars, she could buy $600,000 worth of death benefit. So we, in reality, increased the death benefit of that IRA, we got a triple lot.
Yeah, you got it to 800,000. Wow.
That's right.
Yep. So it's a great story.
Yeah, that is a good story.
It's a real story because I just, you know.
And if you're willing to do it for yourself, think about what that says, right?
It really does. So it's just an amazing story, you know.
Well, that's when you think in terms of buckets, you know, and that can be very helpful in selling, is that people think, you know, instead of thinking of the whole thing as one big mound of money, you think in terms of bucket. This money is allocated for them for their benefit, and we're never going to use it for us. So we don't need we don't need the income. We're not going to use it for ourselves. We could put it into an account for the kids. That's fine. Or we can do it this way. And this way we get a guarantee versus we hope.
That's
right. You know. So instead of buying bonds for them, you're basically buying a guaranteed amount of money that could then be used as a, you know, $800,000, you know, that's a $30,000 or $40,000 income for them, which would take,
and 600 of it is tax free.
Yeah, and just think about that, what that means in terms of just protecting them from life's issues, right? I mean, anybody that, you know, start out with a little bit of a support system. If you guys don't happen to be here, that's a pretty nice thing, you know. because you're probably not going to get, you know, in my case, I did a grat and the grat will come due next year and I don't want the kids to have the money yet. So I'm going to, you know, it's going to go into a trust, which will go to Marcia, my wife, as long as she needs it, but I'm going to kick off an income for the children. They're 40 and 40, you know, they're 42 and 44, so they're not children. But still, I don't want them to waste the money because they're doing fine. But, you know, right. I can do that to give, you know, the money can go to they each have a child, so that money could go to the children. Or it could go to them if, you know, it can go to them if they need to, you know, put an addition on the house or something. So it's a nice, you know, it's a nice little support system for them without me turning around and giving them money out of my account every year, which I could do also, you know, to get the money out of my estate. So I could do that plus this if I, you know, if I really wanted to unload my estate, which I don't, you know. Anyway,
That's the beauty of it, that you can tailor it for whatever the need of the client is. There's so many different strategies.
Right, right.
But maybe just our policy is for the Irrevocable Life Insurance Trust and ILLIT, you know, as to how then gifting money to children and how that, you know, pay for the premium every year for the second to die. And, you know, it was a win-win-win all the way around. But, you know, it did take a great deal of explaining.
That's really good. Well, I'm glad, you know, you guys impress me every time I talk to you. There's estate planning and then there's estate planning. You actually do it and not just talk about it. I mean, you actually sell the life insurance and do some interesting strategies, which I think is people want that. People, you know, I think so many people just see their job as to growing the pot of money. Well, it's not. It's these buckets that protect people and make them feel safe and secure and that we're going to get this done through this process, which is going to be dramatically less risky.
Yeah.
Not, you know, just think about it. You're guaranteed to get it, right? I mean, assuming the life insurance company stays around. And so you just change the dynamics of the investment. You reduce the risk factor dramatically. So I think that's great.
I'm sorry. Where Barron's did you see that article about the RMDs?
It was in this week's Barron's.
Is this past Saturday? Okay, it's on the coffee table at home. I haven't picked it up, but I certainly will look for that article now.
Yeah, it was interesting, but I, you know, here's a good idea for you guys. Look, you guys know your planning issues. I think there's a huge appetite right now for people to listen to strategies on estate planning. So if I were you, I would take and do a monthly estate planning strategy session on Zoom for all your clients and their friends and associates.
Yeah, that's good.
How would you put that together? I mean, would we conduct it, or would Raymond James want an attorney to do that? Not like we couldn't line up to hold
an attorney. No. You guys do it. You don't want anybody on there but you. Because you want to – whenever I tell people to do a seminar, I said, don't put somebody else on the stage. If you can have somebody off at the wing, if you got a question you can't handle, you know, you got your estate planning attorney over there – but you want to be the star of the show. And the answer,
that's good.
You see what I mean? You don't want to be, have somebody, that's people do that. They invite an estate planning attorney. He gets up there and everybody goes, oh, I want to do business with him. And you're like, wait a minute, what about me? They go, oh, you just brought him here. So we appreciate it.
Well, if you bring an attorney on board, then he brings 10 people to the Zoom. We bring 10 people to the Zoom, and now he's benefiting and we're benefiting.
Perfect. Yes. But you are leading the conversation, and you're using him to answer questions and to bring color to it. It's kind of like a – you know when they do golf, They've got the guys doing the whole the show, and then you've got color commentators on each green. That's what you want. You don't want him to be the show. So
yeah,
I would.
Good.
Well, you've got a great story to tell. Okay, you did what? You got a. How many stories have we told today? Four, maybe.
Right.
Four really good stories. Real life stories, right? I did a grat 5 years ago. Well, guess what? Think how well that worked, right? 5 years ago, if you had invested in, you know, good stocks, and how did I do? Well, I killed it, right? I mean, I just killed it. And so who's the beneficiary? My kids. So,
right.
I mean, what a great story. And now they've got the, now they'll, you know, I'll do a trust and, you know, and I can, you know, my son's a carpenter, and he's a, you know, he wants to buy houses and fix them up. So I give him an opportunity to do that through this grant, right? My daughter, she's doing fine. Her husband's doing fine. She doesn't need the money. We'll just keep it pretty much together, and she'll give me the beneficiary of it. Maybe she spills out some of it to her daughter, and she, you know, pays for the, puts more money in the 529, maybe some more in a UGMA account or something. So, I mean, it's just a great story where you're controlling the assets rather than, you know, the government. And as much as Marcia and I would like to be around for my granddaughter's wedding, you know, the probabilities aren't good that I will be. So, you know, this is reality, right? I'm dealing at 74, you're dealing with reality, you know, and people, the fun thing is, as you get older, you get used to the idea that, hey, this is a wonderful, wonderful experience, life. But, you know, it does end. Instead of ignoring it or pretending it doesn't end or whatever, you know, older people are pretty good about planning and knowing the reality of their situation, where younger people just completely ignore it. So your clientele is in a great position to think. I mean, assuming they're, you know, they're intelligent and they're interesting and they've been successful. So I think it would be a huge hit. I will tell you why I'm telling you this. I was at a cocktail party with a guy that worked for George Soros that used to be an investment banker for Merrill Lynch. And he and I hit it off because we both worked for Merrill Lynch for 10 years. And I was telling him about my family foundation and how pleased I was with it and how it kept my family, you know, brought my family together. And we did, and I taught them about investments, which they were completely uninterested in, as because they're part of my investment committee, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, you know, I've done zero estate planning, zero. Think about it. The guy was older than I am, 76. No estate planning. My wife and I would like to hear about that. She was a CPA. So I did a Zoom seminar. I did a conference call on my family foundation. And they loved it. I did two of them. I did one introduction and then one follow-up. And then I did one on the grant, because those are the two things that I thought had worked out the best for me. And they loved it. They were like eating it up. And they went and met with their, you know, got an estate planning attorney. I thought it might turn into something where they asked me about, you know, could I recommend them to somebody? But they didn't, but that's okay. They're fine. But there, you think everybody's taken care of, right? Especially a guy that worked for Soros. Are you kidding? No. He knew nothing. Knew zero.
Right.
Less than nothing. But they were smart people. And that made me say, oh my God, if this guy, who's worth, you know, what, maybe 50 million, I don't know, maybe 100 million, who knows, knows nothing, then what, I had another guy, anyway, second largest foundation in the world. The guy is the head of the foundation. and he knows nothing about family foundations. And this is the biggest family foundation there is, or the biggest foundation there is, second biggest in the country. He knows nothing about how to run his family foundation. And his wife said, would you spend some time with my friend, with this guy, and teach him how to run it right? I said, sure. Well, there you go. Okay. Just because people have money doesn't mean they know anything. So
yep.
Anyway.
Touché.
Yeah. And I pulled together a group. I created a little mastermind group of buddies, and we're just talking about stocks and the market and equities, and never seen such an appetite for it. So I'm just telling you, people are hungrier than they've ever been right now to reach out and do this stuff. So I think you're right on, and I think you can, sure, you know, do you have to get compliance approved? Of course you do. But you're just telling them facts, that's all.
Right.
You know, you're not making up stuff. So you study and learn it and send them an article and then go ahead and you'll get a full house. I think you'll get, you know, you'll probably get 40 or 50 people on there. And that's...
Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. I think you will. And I think you'll be shocked at how, you know, you just follow, that becomes your follow-up, right? Follow up with all of them. Guess what? Yeah, my buddy, he loved that. He wants to talk to you. Okay. How shall we meet? Let's do a Zoom call and introduce him. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Let's play. I'm going to play with that a little.
Yeah. Everybody's paralyzed because of COVID-19. They're not doing, there's zero prospecting going on. And right. I think it's a gold mine.
Yeah.
I think you say, let's pretend COVID-19 is here forever.
Right.
What are you going to do then?
Feels like it.
Yeah. Rather than let's embrace it, right?
Yeah.
Let's not just hold our, it's like everybody's holding their breath till it's over. Well, you're going to die of, you know, you're going to pass out. So pretend that, you know that let's say it lasts forever. Who cares? It's a new normal.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll definitely work on that.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, I think I'd be excited to hear what happens because, you know, I think people are hungry to talk to each other about real things. They miss each other, even though everybody says, oh, I'm doing all these Zoom calls. I'm getting Zoom exhaustion. Your clients aren't getting Zoom exhaustion, okay? They aren't. They'd love to do it. And they love the technology. They think it's cool. So, make sure you know how to use it. But, exactly. Have some fun with it. And I'd be just real curious to see what, I don't recommend this to everybody because I don't think the average person spends the time to understand what it is, but you guys actually use it and sell it and know it. So take advantage of it. There's like two of you, right? You think everybody does this. No. None of my clients are doing what you're doing right now. None. Okay. You're selling more life insurance and doing more estate planning than any other client I have right now.
Wow.
So there you go. So tip of the hat to you. Take advantage of it.
Yep.
Okay.
We will.
That sounds like a decent fork in the road direction, a new focus, and that's a pretty good one. Thank you.
Yeah, that will pay you big money. That's the idea, right? We don't need to do 20 of those. You need to do a couple. You know, do two or three a year, and you're doing great. So
it really is.
Yeah. So why not, right? Somebody's going to do it, or somebody should be doing it.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, great catching
great.
Up. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And keep knocking them dead. Way to go.
Yeah.
I have a referral for you too, Rob.
You do?
I said, there's a team In Fort Lauderdale. They're about a 10-person team. They're with Merrill Lynch. So I got the information. Who am I sending it to? Yeah, I guess I'm passing it on to Cindy first, and then I guess if you want to call them or whatever.
How did you find them, and where did this come up?
Well, they're through my Kingdom Advisors group.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, it's a new team that was all put together, and one of the people that's on the team was kind of sharing with me that it's kind of a mess because it all got put together recently. And boy, everything she said, I said, you know what? You guys need a coach, and I've got the perfect coach for you.
Well, that's a riot. What's the name of the team? Do you know?
I do know. Do you remember what the name of the team is? I don't know.
Merrill Lynch, and they need, you know, cohesiveness, and, you know, I'm Supernova. Boy, this is perfect.
I'll pass it on. I'll definitely pass it on to you guys today.
Yeah, thanks. Just send me an email with a name and the phone number, and I'll call them because, you know, sometimes you need a need a salesman to call, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean. Cindy's great if they, you know, if they're all cooked and everything, but if they're curious,
no, I know.
Then you need a salesman, right? And
hey,
I
Rob,
hate to waste it.
What's your email address?
rdnap@gmail.com. That'll get directly to me. It's rdnap@gmail.com. I also have one, rdnap@supernovaconsulting.com. So either of those will get to me.
Okay.
RD,
all right, I'll
Robert Douglas. Yeah, RD.
Yep.
Well, thanks.
All right, very good.
Well, that's a big appreciation. Thank you very much. That's very nice. Nicest compliment I can get.
Well,
it's always fun.
Perfect.
Yeah, I don't do much with Merrill Lynch. That was my alma mater, and I don't do much with them. It's so funny. I do everybody else. I do.
Yep.
I've got a couple of clients, but they were like, nah, we know you. We know all your stuff, Rob, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go teach everybody else, and you guys, you don't know anything. Anyway, you know what it's like. You were at other firms.
Right.
Yep. Once you're gone, you're gone. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for the introduction, and I look forward to working with them. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Patty. Bye-bye.
All right.